Will you help support the scientists working to disseminate the evidence about intelligent design in nature? Go to evolutionnews.org and donate now to support Evolution News and our other initiatives in the coming year. 10 years ago today, an activist federal judge in Pennsylvania tried to kill intelligent design by court order. In Kitzmiller v. Dover, Judge John Jones declared that teaching about intelligent design was unconstitutional because intelligent design was religion rather than science. Contrary to what Darwinists thought would happen, it wasn't over after Dover. Thanks to the support from independent-minded thinkers like you, intelligent design did not die after Dover. Instead, we produce new books and films advancing the argument and have helped to fund and support the work of scientists and scholars researching the evidence for intelligent design. We in the intelligent design movement don't depend on tax dollars. We do depend on voluntary help from people like you. As we progress toward the 20th anniversary of the Center for Science and Culture next year, we are preparing a stream of new books, scientific research, documentaries, and more to push the debate forward. But we can't bring these things to completion without your support. Will you take a stand against censors like Judge Jones and help us continue and expand the debate over intelligent design in 2016? Please donate now to support the work of intelligent design. Go to evolutionnews.org and donate now. That's evolutionnews.org.
Welcome to ID the Future. I'm Sarah Chaffee with the Center for Science and Culture. Nearly 10 years ago, on December 20th, 2005, Judge John E. Jones ruled in Kitzmiller v. Dover that intelligent design is religion and not science. His decision was based on faulty reasoning and misrepresentation of intelligent design. As we approach the 10-year anniversary of Dover, listen to a recent lecture by Casey Luskin, who covered the trial for Evolution News in his role as then Science Education Policy Program Officer. In this first segment of a three-part series, Casey recaps how the trial came about.
What was the Dover policy? What did they adopt? Well, essentially, the Dover School Board required that an oral statement be read, this oral disclaimer, be read to students in their 10th grade biology classes before they learn about evolution. So this is the whole controversy. And the most controversial part of this short four-paragraph statement was this paragraph right here. It said, "Intelligent design is an explanation of the origin of life that differs from Darwin's view. The reference book of Pandas and People is available for students who might be interested in gaining an understanding of what intelligent design actually involves." It was this short two-sentence statement that basically caused all of the controversy in the Dover case. Now, I don't personally recommend, and I think Discovery Institute would very much agree with this, we would not recommend that school boards use these kinds of disclaimers, whether they're an oral disclaimer or a written disclaimer. They're not the best way to teach a subject. And really, they don't do anything other than just, you know, tell students something. Much better to actually show them, you know, an idea if you want to talk about it. Now, we're going to talk about this further in detail in just a couple minutes, but Discovery Institute actually opposed Dover's ID policy. We not only opposed this idea to adopt a disclaimer, but we had long opposed a mandating intelligent design in public schools and pushing ID into public school curricula, which is exactly what the Dover School Board did. Before I came to Discovery Institute, some of my predecessors here had communication with the Dover School Board. They urged them not to adopt a policy that was going to involve intelligent design, and essentially Dover didn't listen to us. They rejected our policy advice, and they went with the advice of another group, which said, yeah, go ahead and do this. You'll have no trouble. Well, unfortunately, they did get into trouble. So again, though, this is a very short statement that shows, you know, that it says intelligent design is an explanation for the origin of life that differs from Darwin's view. Some people have argued that this really does not amount to teaching intelligent design. And this is one of the places where actually I agreed with Judge Jones in the ruling. I mean, look, even if you're only mentioning it in a short, you know, four-paragraph statement, this amounts to teaching intelligent design. Now, whether or not intelligent design is a religious view that is unconstitutional, whether or not this statement here ought to be considered unconstitutional is a separate question. But at the very least, I agree with Judge Jones that this involves teaching ID. I don't think that this Dover School Board should have been teaching ID, but at the very least, they were doing that. So, as I said, Discovery Institute opposed Dover's ID policy. In fact, Very soon, around the time of the adoption of Dover's policy, Discovery Institute issued a public statement. And this is what it said. It said, a recent news report seemed to suggest that the Center for Science and Culture endorses the adoption of textbook supplements teaching about the scientific theory of intelligent design, which simply holds that certain aspects of the universe and living things can be best explained as the result of an intelligent cause rather than merely material and purposeless processes like natural selection. Any such suggestion is incorrect. So, and this goes back to conversations the Discovery Institute had behind the scenes with the Dover School Board leading up to their adoption of their ID policy. Discovery Institute explicitly said to Dover, don't adopt a policy that requires the teaching of intelligent design. And it's important to understand why Discovery Institute takes this approach. It's not the case that somehow we think that ID is unconstitutional or that it's not science and therefore shouldn't be taught. No, we think ID is science. We think that ID should be considered constitutional to teach in public schools. The reason why Discovery Institute opposes pushing ID into public schools, and this was our policy before Dover, this is our policy after Dover, and this has been our policy since Dover. The reason we oppose mandating ID is because our priority with intelligent design is to see it grow and develop as a scientific theory. And we speculated pre-Dover that if ID got pushed into public schools, that would take the debate out of the scientific realm and push it into the political realm. And the politicization of teaching ID would result in increased persecution against pro-ID scientists and faculty at the university level. Okay, so we told Dover this, and they didn't listen to us. And this sort of turned out to be one of those times where you turned out to be right, but you almost wish that you hadn't been. Because exactly what we predicted would happen because of Dover mandating ID is what did happen. Okay, so we predicted to them, look, if you guys mandate ID, it's going to politicize intelligent design, and it's actually going to result in more and more discrimination and persecution against pro-ID scientists at the universities. It's going to make it harder for them to make their case for ID to the scientific community. And unfortunately, that's exactly what happened. In the wake of the Dover case, we saw an intense spike in the level of persecution of pro-ID scientists and faculty. I can say this. Part of my job at Discovery Institute over the last 10 years has been to help to provide defense for these scientists and scholars, and in some cases, students. And we saw a huge amount of persecution in the post-Dover era. And unfortunately, you know, again, it's one of those times where your prediction turned out to be correct, but you almost wished that you hadn't been correct. Instead, what Discovery Institute has suggested for public schools is to simply teach the scientific evidence for and against Darwinian evolution without getting into alternative theories like intelligent design. And as I said, this was our position before Dover. There has been sort of this myth that's been put out there by the Darwin lobby that in the wake of the Dover trial, Discovery Institute changed its tune, or we evolved, as they love to say. They love this creationism evolves meme. And it's the idea that, you know, before Dover, we were trying to push ID into public schools, and then we evolved, and now we're not trying to do that. We're trying to promote critical analysis of evolution, or we changed the words to academic freedom. These are false. They're anachronistic claims because they do not fit what actually the historical chronology shows. Before the Dover case, we opposed pushing ID into public schools, and there's good examples of this on the public record. The Darwin lobby's claim that we were trying to push ID into public schools is absolutely refuted by the public record. So, for example, here's a statement made by Stephen Meyer in 2002. It was in an op-ed he published in the Cincinnati Inquirer. This was when the Ohio State Board of Education was considering whether or not to require teachers to teach about scientific problems of evolution. Not about intelligent design, but to critique evolution. And this was actually one of Discovery Institute's first major involvements in a major public policy battle. And what Dr. Meyer wrote is this. He said, recently, while speaking to the Ohio State Board of Education, I suggested this approach as a way forward in Ohio in its increasingly contentious dispute about how to teach theories of biological origin and about whether or not to introduce the theory of intelligent design alongside Darwinism in the Ohio biology curriculum. And then he goes on to say, first, I suggested, speaking as an advocate of the theory of intelligent design, that Ohio not require students to know the scientific evidence and arguments for the theory of intelligent design, at least not yet. And then he goes on to say, instead, I proposed that Ohio teachers teach the scientific controversy about Darwinian evolution. Teachers should teach students about the main scientific arguments for and against Darwinian theory, and Ohio should test students for their understanding of those arguments and for their, not for their assent to a point of view. So what Dr. Meyer says here is essentially what our policy position has been on how to teach intelligent design and evolution since this time. And this is from 2002, you know, over 2 years before Dover adopted its ID policy and 3 years plus before the Dover policy, trial happened. And so this was our position before the Dover case, to not mandate ID in public schools. So this sort of idea that the critical analysis is post-Dover is part of this evolution of creation narrative that really isn't true. It's not true. And what's interesting is that Ohio actually did adopt the exact policy that Stephen Meyer was suggesting, and in their policy, they called for critical analysis of evolution, but they explicitly said in that policy that this does not call for the teaching of intelligent design or the testing of intelligent design. So Dover adopted the policy that we were looking at. I'm sorry, not Dover. Ohio adopted the policy that we were recommending, and they did not require the teaching of intelligent design. Dover, on the other hand, rejected this kind of advice that we gave. So what happened in the big picture of the Kitzmiller versus Dover case? Well, within about 2 months of Dover adopting its policy, the ACLU helped 11 parents of students in the Dover School District to file a suit against the Dover School Board. And about a year later, in the fall of 2005, the case went to trial. And the court found that Dover's policy failed the purpose prong of the Lemon Test and lacked a secular purpose because the school board members had made clear statements of religious motives. It also found that Dover's ID policy failed the effect prong of the Lemon Test because intelligent design was not science but a religious viewpoint. So this gets into that three-part Lemon Test. The first part says that a statute has to have a legislative purpose, and the court found that Dover's ID policy was not adopted because of a secular legislative purpose. They had a religious purpose. And secondly, the court found that Dover's ID policy failed the effect prong, that every government policy has to have a primary effect that neither advances nor inhibits religion. That's the second part of the Lemon Test. And they found that Dover's ID policy failed this part, this test, because intelligent design was not science but was a religious viewpoint. Now, what's interesting is that in the precedent of Edwards versus Aguillard, the U.S. Supreme Court actually found that once you find evidence of religious motives, once you find that a law was enacted for the purpose of endorsing religion, you should not go on and continue your analysis and go into the effect analysis or the entanglement analysis, the third part of the Lemon Test. Essentially, once you find that a law was enacted for the purpose of endorsing religion, you should stop. And this is a principle of the judicial economy, that we want courts to try to narrow the scope of their rulings and not go into complicated legal analyses of issues that don't have to be done in order to settle a case. And so, again, this comes from the Edwards versus Aguillard case, and they said, if the law was enacted for the purpose of endorsing religion, no consideration of the second or third criteria of Lemon is necessary. Judge Jones didn't follow this precedent. After he found that Dover's ID policy had a religious purpose, he then went on to the second and third parts of the Lemon Test, and he found that it failed the effect analysis. He found that the primary effect of Dover's policy was to advance religion, and he found this because he went to a lengthy analysis of whether ID is science or religion, and then he found that Dover's ID policy resulted in excessive entanglement of government and religion. What Judge Jones should have done if he was following this precedent is he should have stopped his analysis after he found that the Dover School Board had a religious purpose behind their policy. And frankly, I think that there was good evidence that the Dover School Board did have religious motives when they passed their policy. One of the Dover School Board members made a statement to the effect of, somebody died 2,000 years ago, we've got to take a stand for him. That's essentially a very close paraphrase of what he said. There was very clear evidence on the part of the Dover School Board that they had religious motives. Once Judge Jones found that, he should have stopped his analysis. And I think he would have been on very strong grounds in his ruling in following legal precedent and also, you know, not having his ruling overturned by a higher court. Instead, he didn't do that. Instead, he tried to go into a broad, sweeping analysis of whether ID is science, and we'll talk about this more later, and he addressed lots of complicated questions which go far beyond the scope of what the judiciary is supposed to do, like whether evolution conflicts with religion, how do we define science, whether the type 3 secretory system could have been a precursor to the flagellum. He really engaged in what we would call judicial activism by trying to settle cases and issues and controversies that were far outside the scope of the case that was before him in that lawsuit.
That was Casey Luskin, recapping how the Kitzmiller v. Dover trial came about. In the decades since Dover, intelligent design has flourished. For a free short documentary on intelligent design, and a free digital book about the Dover trial, as well as other resources, visit informationenigma.com. That's informationenigma.com. I'm Sarah Chaffee for the Center for Science and Culture. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.